The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. I'm laughing because people don't let you get away with anything on Twitter. They murder you for certain things. We get tweets at beating the book. By the way, we're going to have Mike Pritchard talk NFL with us this hour, as well as Will Hill with his baseball plays and NBA thoughts as well, and Jay Kahn standing by to talk hockey. But Russell Smith, wow, Campbell, he says, I like it. I watched them beat my Eastern Carolina Pirates twice this year. They're solid squad. He's all about it. This is from Big Kahuna. Big Kahuna said, Gil comparing his injury to Zion. I spit out my coffee as he explains the fear of the same drop shot that caused his injury. Love this show.
They're basically the same guy. Come on.
It's like when Kobe ruptured his Achilles. I said to my buddy Tommy, I'm like, oh man, Kobe ruptured his Achilles just like I did. He goes, really, Gil? Did you do it in front of 17,000 people at the Staples Center? That's not what I meant. Just letting you know the mental yips. That's what I was getting at. Z-free. Zion, 114 games played through first three NBA seasons. It's actually four for Zion, right? Is it three or four? Three. Sam Bowie, 119, as we mentioned the other day. Greg Olson, 82, missed his entire first year. And then this is from Trip Tepper. Trip Tepper objected to my use of the word politics, Kelly. He said the college baseball regional selections are less about politics and more about revenue generation. They pick regional sites based on accomplishment and ability to draw fans. Saying it's politics makes it sound sinister to the novel fan. Well, I didn't mean Joe Biden and Trump and DeSantis were stepping in or anything. That's what we meant by politics. Revenue generation. And what you went to, you were in South Florida. That's exactly why Miami always has a regional.
Yeah.
For politics is the word we would use as a broad catch-all. Because it is revenue. Basically, what I mean by that is not on-field accomplishment, necessarily.
Yeah, it was a big problem with, I mean, we all know FAU now is a basketball school, I guess. But, like, FAU's best program always has been their baseball program. And, I mean, they'd have top 25 ranked teams pretty often. And those seasons when they would get in that situation, the regional would always be Gainesville or Miami because they didn't have the facilities to host it. So, it's political in that sense.
I'm sorry, Trip. I love Trip Tepper. He's always good with the comments, though.
He's awesome.
Okay, let's talk some hockey. Jake Hahn joins us, everybody. We love Jake on co-host of The Point, the fantasy hockey show on SiriusXM NHL. You can follow him on Twitter at jhahn. That's H-A-H-N number four, jhahn four on Twitter. How you doing, Jake?
I'm doing great, Gil. Doing great, Kelly, as well. And it's a fun time of the year. We got hockey playoffs next week. I was at the Jays home opener last night
as well.
So it's baseball season. Yeah, so it's a good time. It's finally not freezing cold here in Toronto. It's actually quite beautiful this week. So I'm in a good mood.
Oh, that's good to know. Because the girlfriend does not like the fact that the summer does not come quickly in Toronto. She's always complaining about that. But now it's good for the sun will do you good. So let me ask you this. Couple things. First of all, I had the Jays in game last night against the Tigers. That was a nice comeback.
Yes.
Smart
play.
Yeah. Here's the thing. So it's the final 3 days of the NHL regular season. For those of us who don't follow hockey like we follow, say, basketball, because basketball, the final days, we were doing this whole thing like, okay, can any team manipulate their playoff position to get a certain matchup? And just for this year's sake, the conclusion was no, they can't because they're fenced in by a play-in. It's the whole thing. Is there any of that for anybody who's looking to bet the NHL the last three games? Because we still have three divisions undecided, division winners, and we still have a wild card juxtaposition still undecided with only 3 days left. Is there any of that kind of betting angle available in hockey, or is that just not a thing?
Well, there's a lot to still be decided is what I should say here, because there are a lot of teams that aren't locked into their spots at this point. And you're right. It's crazy for how long the season is with 3 days left. There's still so much movement that could happen here. Now, I don't think any team is going to manipulate the schedule, like you mentioned. I don't think they're going to throw a game or try to win a game anymore. I think the teams are going to ice their rosters, and they're going to try to go out and win a hockey game. Now, you might see some players rested here over the last few days, and I would stress to anybody betting on these games to make sure to look. And we might not see players rested till an hour, 2 hours before the game. So I would stress that like make sure you know what the rosters are going into these games, because you're going to see some funny looking teams. You're going to see players coming up from the American Hockey League. We saw Luke Hughes make his debut, a great young player for the Devils last night as well. I think teams are going to give these young guys a chance to get into some NHL action here down the stretch. So I don't think teams are going to be throwing games by any means, but I do think we're going to see some thin rosters. And we're going to see some players getting rested here.
That's what I mean. I mean, even the NBA, it's never the players on the court, right? It's the roster construction. And so, yeah, be careful with that. And these lineups in the final few days of the NHL season, because again, as bettors, we sometimes assume, oh, this team wants this seed. This team's going to do that. We don't really know. I think we tend to overrate that as bettors. Check all the lineups here the last few days. Before we get to the one playoff series that is established, which might be on paper, the nicest one of all of them. Let me just ask the Bruins question one more time, because again, last night, it was one thing to have the most wins of all time, which they already established. Last night, they established the most points of all time in any NHL season. They have won 64 hockey games, is it? 64? Do I have that right? So again, 64 with one game remaining. Remember when the Tampa Bay Lightning were doing their thing, like they topped out at 60. We're like, that's the most amazing thing in the world. If the Bruins win their last game, they've almost eclipsed that by 10%. This is, we were just saying this out loud the other day, which is for hockey to do this, especially knowing how random a postseason is, how fleeting a bounce off a skate or off somebody's body or off a post can be with a rebound, like human beings can't react in time. For the Bruins to have done this, is it as off the charts as it seems like it is?
It's actually incredible. There's so many numbers that back up what the Bruins have done this year. Like there's so many crazy numbers out there, stats based on this season that they've had. But I think the one that jumps out to me the most is that they've only had one 3-game losing streak all season long, which to me is crazy. In an 82-game regular season to only have one 3-game losing streak. And I think you hit the nail on the head there, Gil. Like hockey's so random. And I think even when we realized Boston was great about halfway through the season, quarterway through the season, whatever it was, you know, at some point you're going to have a couple weeks where it just doesn't go your way, or, you know, goaltending kind of goes away from you a little bit. They never had that. They had a few game stretch where they lost, and that was basically it. So the consistency for me has just been incredible. Obviously the question is, can they duplicate it in the playoffs? And I do have my questions, and I don't love the number at plus 375 right now. I don't think that's a number I'm rushing to bet. I think it's been beat down too much at this point. There's really no value left with actually betting on the Bruins, but should they be the favorites? 100% based on what they've done throughout the course of the regular season. Well, I will say, if you like Boston, you grab the number now, because they will win their first round series. I have no doubt that they're going to win in the first round, and that number's only going to get worse. It gets difficult for them in round two, whether it's going to be Tampa Bay or Toronto. That's when it starts to get difficult. But I don't have much doubt in my mind that Boston's at least going to win their first round series.
At least going to win their first round series, whether that is the whether that's the Islanders or who's that competing with the Islanders and the for the Florida Panthers, right? And for the wild card there. So, but let me just ask you this though. Because again, I was watching the NBA game with my buddy Todd Wishnev, who is not a big NBA or NHL guy. He bets baseball, he bets college basketball. But it was great, sort of the Bruins capturing someone's attention that isn't even following hockey at all. That's how good this has been. And his question to me was, again, knowing the randomness of the postseason, okay, all that said, exactly what you were just talking about, would you still expect them then to win the Stanley Cup? And the word was expect them to. And the answer is still a resounding no, right?
It is. Like, I mean, we just look at the odds, right? And when we're talking about them as the favorite, they're still plus 375. They're still almost 4-1 to win the Stanley Cup. So we're saying more times than not, we're going to go into this dance and they're not going to win the Stanley Cup. If we ran simulations, they're losing the cup more than they're winning the cup at this point, right? And there's so many other great teams, even just in the Eastern Conference, before they get to the cup final. There's five other teams in the East, I think, have a legit claim to go in and say, we should win the Stanley Cup or we should compete for the cup this year. So like I said, I think out of all the first round matchups, I think Boston's going to have the most favorable. Like when you look at first round series prices, Boston is going to be the biggest favorite, whether that's over Florida, the Islanders, Pittsburgh, if they find a way to creep in as well. Mm-hmm. So I think they have a nice path to the second round, but then they're going to have to go either Tampa or Toronto, one of those Metro teams. And then obviously in the cup final, it's going to be a good team from the West as well. I just think the path is too difficult, in my opinion, to back them at this current number right now.
So let's get to that Toronto-Tampa Bay series, which is the only series we have locked in. It's amazing. 3 days before the end of the regular season. It's the only series we have locked in, the 2-3 in the Atlantic. The Leafs, who famously have not won a cup since 1967, the Tampa Bay Lightning, who are 1 year removed from trying to get a three-peat with, you know, and they got all the way to the finals. The Avalanche beat them. Avalanche only dropped four games throughout the entire postseason last year. But they were oh so close. And some of the same names that we've known through the years with the Lightning, pardon me, with the Lightning I'm talking about now, are still there, right? The Stamkos of the world, the Braden Points of the world, they're all still there, of course, in goal. Vasilevsky's still there. What do you make of this series?
Well, it's interesting, Gil. And you said, you know, we know it with 3 days left in the season. It feels like we've known this series since like November, December, because Boston just ran away with the Atlantic and kind of just put Toronto and Tampa in this 2-3 matchup. And it's been basically a long time coming, saying, hey, we're going to get this rematch from last year. Last year was a great series. It had swings. It went seven games. Ultimately, Tampa gets the win. So I expect another close series. I think the margins are going to be very thin. I feel like it's going to come down to a lot of one-goal games. I trust Tampa's goaltending a lot more than I trust Toronto's. Now, Ilya Samsonov has been fantastic this year, and he's going to be the starter for Toronto going to the playoffs. I just trust Vasilevsky a little bit more come playoff time. So I'm leaning Tampa still in this series, but I think Toronto's in a better position this year than they were last year to win this series. I mean, they just beat Tampa Bay last night with their B squad guys. They rested Matthews. They rested Marner. They started a third string goaltender, and they did beat Tampa. So the case is there to be made for Toronto to finally break this curse and finally win a playoff series. But I still have to lean with Vasilevsky and the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Leafs -145 on the series price. The Lightning +125 on the comeback over at DraftKings, with the lean towards the dog here from Jake Hahn. Jake, I can't wait, man. Three more days of the regular season. It should be fun. We'll talk soon.
Yeah, hopefully we're breaking it down throughout the playoffs. This is a fun time of year. It's always good coming on with you, Gil.
Absolutely. We'll do it before they start. Thank you, Jake. Jake Hahn, everybody, at jhahn4 on the old Twitter machine. Will Hill joins us. Some baseball plays, some NBA thoughts. Next, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data.
Split bet.
Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? Well, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at vsin.com. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Chris Heath said, does the College World Series start at 11 a.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Eastern? Because the odds just went off the board. Teasers and Barley says, grab Campbell 90-1 on DK. Primetime, Cowboys _Cubs1. Gil, the only difference between your Achilles injuries and Kobe's, I love these, were that he went on to make a pair of free throws after his while you were asked to give up a pair of tennis balls from your pocket. That's exactly right. That's the greatest. Freshly ruptured Achilles tendon, Wishnev's only comment was, hey, can I get those tennis balls?
Hey, let me get the balls back.
Can I get
here.
Those tennis balls from your pocket? All heart. Brad Porras, Gil explained it well. Politics much more of a catch-all for the reasons stated. And Trip Tepper did say he got Campbell 75-1 likes the Campbell 75-1 wager. They're about 45 minutes away from him and are consistently one of the better mid-majors. Very solid pitching could get them to a super regional this season. Will Hill is standing by. I want to bring in Will for this. You see that? So you get the YouTube TV tweet from Warren Sharp?
Oh, yeah.
So Warren Sharp had this. Maybe we can throw this up here on the board. But Warren Sharp, our old buddy, said, you know, he was doing the breakdown, not him, but he was basing it on actual data, the breakdown of what the delay will be on YouTube TV, which, by the way, has VSiN, YouTube TV. We love you, YouTube TV. YouTube TV delay is about 54 seconds behind real time. They have the Sunday ticket package this coming year. By the way, it's about $60 more than DirecTV was if you get the discount. It's more if you don't get the discount. But not so Warren says, YouTube's 54 seconds behind real time for the last Super Bowl. Not sure the delay for a regular Sunday afternoon during next NFL season with Sunday ticket on YouTube TV, but likely more than it was with DirecTV, which was about 24 to 30 seconds latency. Now, I will just tell you, I have cable television here in Las Vegas, Cox Cable. That is the biggest delay going, and that's cable. So I'll be honest with you. Everything's delayed massively.
Right.
Yeah, I don't really know that we're parsing anything. And Spanky puts it into better context, which is what he's saying. Unless it's a commercial break or a lengthy timeout or you're physically at the game, if you're betting into in-play lines using just your eyes, you're a sucker. So I wouldn't even go after one of these methods over the other. They all kind of stink if you're trying to in-game. You really should pay attention to what Spanky's saying, which is, as we've said all the time, commercial break, lengthy timeout, or physically at the game. By the way, I was trying to in-game some baseball last night, right? And I'm not going to name any names on books, but they'll spin you through 5-6 pitches before they get the outcome they want. We bring in Will Hill, who joins us, VSiN contributor, VSiN's own Will Hill. How you doing, William?
Gil, what's going on? This is one of the better times of the year, I think. We always talk about, is it March Madness? Is it October with the baseball playoffs and football? This is really good when you get the NBA playoffs every night, as bad as the NBA regular season. This is a fun time of the year. Weather's a little nicer here on the East. Baseball,
yeah, man.
Pretty soon the draft. It's a good time.
I totally agree. It's such an awesome time, and it crescendos into the NFL draft. Did you play anything last night, NBA play, and do you have anything tonight?
I blindly play the unders, so I played both unders last night. I played both dogs. I gave those out on, I think it was on Lombardi line yesterday, so it was a nice night. I, like you, I got a little greedy. I added some Minnesota money line during the game, so that, man, typical Minnesota sports, just gagging it away from the Vikings to Minnesota college hockey the other night in the championship game, just typical Minnesota sports. But I like both unders tonight. I just think these unders in single elimination games are good bets. Max intensity on defense. You see this in the NCAA tournament too. Max intensity on defense. Teams are, you know, they value possessions a little more methodical on offense. So I think the regular season data for these teams doesn't quite translate to these play-in scenarios. So I like both unders, and I like OKC. You know, they sort of ran out of gas the last few weeks of the season. They didn't play well. They had some bad games against these tanking teams, but I'm getting 5.5. I'm getting the best player on the floor in SGA. It's a younger team. They basically had a week off. They didn't really play since Thursday in Utah. They didn't have to play their guys Sunday. So I think this is a house money game for them. I mean, their season win total was, what, 23.5, 24.5, and here they are in a playing spot. So I think they'll be fast and loose, shoot a lot of threes. They play a weird style. They don't play any bigs. I think they can maybe play Valanciunas off the floor here. So I like both unders, and I like the OKC plus 5.5. I bet some baseball, too.
Don't you, and maybe Kelly, you have this as well. Don't you all have some Meshuggah bets on OKC to win the West or something?
Yeah.
Don't you all have that? Is that you too, Will? Don't you have that one?
I'm in. 500-1.
Yes.
I've already spent the money.
It begins tonight.
I've already spent the money. Yes.
That's right. What could go wrong?
I've got to make the playoffs ticket, the 500-1. Yes, I will be quietly rooting very hard for my Thunder tonight.
Will's wife's listening in. She's like, what?
I think as soon as we placed those, they went in the tank because it looked like they could get in the top six. They had a soft schedule, and they started losing games to the Pacers and the Pacers. Hornets.
Yeah, there was the stretch of three. I think it was Pacers, Hornets, Pistons. They lost two of the three. It was like, all right, this is a dumb bet.
Yeah, so you're on the unders again tonight. Fezzik texted in, and I don't know if he's 100% correct about this. I'm not sure if he's 100%. Maybe he is 100% right, that he thinks all of the play-ins, because Drew was saying earlier the 7-8s are different than the 9-10s. Fezzik was saying all of them, 9-0 now, because the play-ins format started last year, have all gone under.
Yeah, it started 2 years ago. I know they swept last year. Did it sweep the year before, too? Because 2 years ago was that Warriors-Lakers game. That Timberwolves-Lakers game last night sort of reminded me of that Warriors-Lakers game 2 years ago. So I don't remember how they did in the first year. I know I'm pretty sure they swept last year, and they're 2-0 so far. So
wait, but did they didn't do 7-8-9-10 2 years ago, did they?
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
They did? I thought the Board of Governors, I can't even, the pandemic and post-pandemic.
No, because remember the Warriors were in the 7-8 game and they lost that, and then they lost to Memphis. They had a second chance and they lost both of them and they missed the whole playoffs.
I purged it from my memory, Will, is what I did.
Convenient. Isn't that convenient?
Isn't that convenient? That's right. All right, baseball, full day, and I do mean day, literally baseball as well as evening. Love Wednesdays. This is the beauty of baseball. By the way, they should do it every day, not just Wednesdays. What do you got this morning? What do you have tonight?
Yeah, I like it when it's a little more balanced. Like, I don't like no day games, but I don't like a million day games either.
Randomly ends at 7 p.m. Pacific. You're like, wait, there's no more baseball? Yeah.
Yeah, last Wednesday there was one night game. It was a Royals-Blue Jays game, which was kind of nice. I mean, you could sort of turn your brain off a little bit if you're only betting baseball. But I bet the Yankees, I bet the Padres, and I bet there's still an 8 that, out there in Reds Braves. That should be a fun pitching matchup. Green versus Strider. Every fastball is going to be 107 miles per hour. So, Yankees, Padres, and the under in Braves Reds. And I I also played Houston minus 152. They have not played well, but I think this is a nice bounce back spot here against Rich Hill, who's about 55 years old. So I think maybe shop around, obviously try to get the best number. The dime lines are huge in baseball, but I think this is a huge spot, a good spot here for Houston to bounce back.
I remember I once said that to Josh Towers. I was like, Rich Hill, this is like 4 years ago. I was like, Rich Hill, I mean, he's like 55 years old. He goes, how old are you, man? That's his response to me. No, the, so wait, let's go say those again real quick, because there's like five of them. Astros, what do you have?
Yep, Astros, Yankees, Padres, and then the under. There's an under eight still. I think BetRivers still has under eight. Braves and the Reds.
Okay, let me just, because I love baseball records, and it's what I love. I think what most people who are baseball fans love about baseball is the stats. So here are the Tampa Bay Rays, 11-0. They become the sixth team now in the history of baseball to start the season 11-0. They win again going away. 10 of the 11 have just been blowouts, really. They do it again against the Red Sox last night. By the way, the other best starts to seasons in the history of baseball, who could forget the 1884 St. Louis Maroons, Kelly? You remember them. They went 20-0. Oh, yeah. But modern history, 13-0 is the standard. The 87 Brewers, who, by the way, then lost 12 in a row. The Atlanta Braves of 1982, who did not win the World Series either, they went 13-0. So the Rays, two more games to get there. And I guess, you know, I guess the question is, how real, obviously they're not going to win every game, this just in, but how real do you think this is? Like, I remember the 84 Tigers, who are not on this list, they went 35-5 to begin the season. Then they did win the World Series. Like, that was a solid, unbelievable team for the ages. Do you feel like this is more of a 84 Tigers, or do you feel like this is just, no, it's just a run. They had a really super easy schedule early. They're going to be good, but they're just not very historical.
I'll answer your question with a question, which I don't think you're supposed to do, but what's their updated season win total? That would probably answer it. I mean, I think, look, in terms of winning a championship, the baseball playoffs are so random that, I mean, you could start 50-0, you know, you're 0-0 come October. My guess is they're probably in the mid-90s. That sounds about right. Maybe they flirt with 100, but again, the schedule's been so soft. Boston's okay, but the other teams are terrible. You know, I actually kind of like them again tonight. I think Bradley, that's a short price with the kid they just called up, but, you know, probably 95 to 98 wins, flirt with 100, something like that. They're good. They're not all-time good, though.
Not all-time good. And by the way, and I'm glad you said what you said, which is, and by the way, we don't really see any adjusted season win totals currently up. But that is, at least not in Nevada, that is what you just said about baseball, exactly what we just talked about with hockey. And Jeff Parles, as a Mets fan, and any Mets fan like yourself, can say this about, like, you know, the difference between the regular season and the postseason and how just absolutely random the baseball postseason is. It's like two completely different seasons, and it makes it tough to
Dodgers bet. Padres last year, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Will, always great to talk to you, man. Thank you.
See you guys. Go Boys Discord. I've got to get it in. Appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
At not the Will Hill. Pritch, next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up now for only $9.99. at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Binlin. Kelly, you okay, man? You feeling more comfortable in that chair, or still an uncomfortable morning for you?
I feel like I'm a chicken laying eggs back here or something. I feel like I'm perched up. I got no armrest.
It's the no armrest. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Because it feels like you're sitting on a doctor's medical table with your feet dangling.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah, you nailed it. That's what it is.
Kelly Binlin, everybody. Producing.
There's always problems with chairs in the studio, though. We know that. We've been talking about this for 5 years now.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a very robust chair budget here at the South Point. I don't know what he's talking about. I have no idea. Mike Pritchard joins us. He knows all about our robust chair budget. How you doing, Pritch?
I'm great. I can't believe you guys are struggling in the studio. What's going on?
Oh, I'm not. I'm very comfortable. I don't know about this guy. Pritch, of course, a host here at VSiN. Here to talk NFL with us and NFL draft. And I guess, Mike, first of all, thanks for joining us again.
Of course.
I feel like we almost have broken record segments here, because every week on the run-up to the draft, it's kind of just trying to read the tea leaves. And I was sort of saying earlier on the show, this feels like as close to the draft as we've been in a few years where we have been as uncertain as I can remember. Usually we kind of have a bunch of bets already in pocket. This is one of these where it's like I have my Stroud bets at number one, but if you're hearing all the buzz now, right, it's all Bryce Young talk. Bryce Young's going to be the guy. Man, who knows? Maybe even C.J. Stroud's going to drop past two. Right. What do you make of all of it right now? From your vantage point, what are you thinking happens?
We're in the window of smoke screens. I mean, everybody's got a mock out there. We know some got 4.0. Some people are just starting their mocks. And, you know, when you start a mock and you're trying to gain attention, of course, you're going to present it as if it's the best information out there. Right. But I do know this about the draft. Nobody knows for 100% what a team is going to do. They can hear from somebody, they can hear from a source. But these guys, they bunker themselves in. Think about it. They lock themselves in and they go at it. I mean, it's war to them. It's like another game for the offseason for the front offices. So, you know, the agents are jockeying for position. There's information out there, you know, based on their clients. And then also, you know, you're trying to get information about other people's draft board. And so you leak this or you leak that. I do know this for a fact, though. I mean, you know, if you look at the track record of coaches, and coaches like to be comfortable, especially play callers. I mean, look at Frank Reich. Frank Reich has only done and dealt with and played with and coached and called plays for their bigger body quarterback. It doesn't seem like it's a great fit for him to call plays for a 5'10 quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But yet the owner might want a Heisman Trophy winner at quarterback, right? The leader franchise. So you have those forces in play where you have an owner that likes Bryce Young and you have a coaching staff or a play caller that might, prefer C.J. Stroud. Those facts are, undeniable, right? What the Texans are going to do is anybody's guess, though, because that's a franchise that is in disarray. It has been. And then if you're Arizona, you're kind of in disarray, too. One of the things I've talked about with some people I know around the league is that if you look at the quarterback position right now and you look at Anthony Richardson perhaps going third or being the third overall pick or the third pick in terms of that position, Caleb Williams next year is better than all three of these guys, right? That's the consensus. And so you wonder if that's in the back of people's minds as well, especially if you are a cellar dweller. Especially if you know you're not going to have a great season next year. So I think there's a lot of forces in play, to be honest with you, to answer your question directly there, Gil, that it's anybody's guess at this point. And that's why it's a gamble. That's why you see the odds shifting like you do.
You know what, though, Mike? So I remember exactly what you said. Oh, Caleb Williams is better than all these guys. Last year, they were saying all these guys are better than all those guys, right?
Right.
So it's you know, you can keep kicking the can down the road if you're the Houston Texans or whatever, but at some point, you have to have a quarterback. Yeah. Like, it's pretty simple in this league. It's a quarterback league, right? So right. That would be amazing for sure. I still, you know, with all this Bryce Young buzz, I'm still not 100% convinced it's Bryce Young. We'll see. Tell us about, again, we just went through an NBA draft where those of us who bet Paolo Banchero insisted to everybody, trust me, I think it's going to be Paolo Banchero. And it didn't change. Woj didn't even know right till the last minute. Here right. We have this draft, and I don't know, this might not be a Paolo Banchero situation, but just give us your draft experience again when you were drafted, how that went that day for you and the run-up to it, how volatile that was for you.
Yeah, you know what, to be honest with you, I didn't know Atlanta was even in the mix for my services, to be honest with you, Gil, until June Jones flew out here. I was on spring break about a week before the draft, and we sat there and we played catch in the rain. He was throwing bullets. He was firing bullets at me. And he flew all the way from Atlanta to Las Vegas, Nevada, just to play catch with me. And I thought that was odd, right? But to them, that was a convincing moment that, okay, here's a play caller that, okay, if I'm going to draft this guy, if we're going to draft this guy realistically 13th overall, I want to know what he's made of. I want to know what the makeup is. I want to know if he can catch a football, especially for me as a former quarterback. And so that was convincing to Atlanta. That was a week before the draft, if you think about it. And so that's why, you know, for myself, I'm thinking I'm going to go in the second round, and lo and behold, you get a run on a position, and then you go in the first round. You know, the quarterback position, I think what's undeniable again is that the run on the quarterback position is going to be there. Richardson, Young, C.J. Stroud, Levis. I mean, you could even get Hendon Hooker in there because there's going to be a run on that position. Another position that I'm looking at for a run on is the defensive back position. I mean, Okuda getting traded, that opens the door for Detroit at number six. And then you have a number of teams that want to scramble for a corner right around, you know, the lower part of the top 10. So you got other teams that want to trade up to get a quarterback. So I think it gets very, very intriguing from that standpoint. But to me, the draft has always been, and it always will be, about those runs on positions and then everybody making sure that they're okay in position for those adjustments during the draft of the first round.
Yeah, you were saying that last week about a run on the D-backs, and Devin Witherspoon now the favorite to be the first defensive back taken in the draft. Okay, let's talk about Odell Beckham Jr. real quick. Odell Beckham Jr. gets the $15 million deal from the Ravens. $15 million minimum, could be up to $18 million with incentives.
Right.
And a lot of people, the reaction was, oh, my God, Odell Beckham Jr., what an overpay. Listen, I had that instinct too, but if you actually look at how these salaries are now slotted for wide receivers, like you should look at Terry McLaurin's contract. It's a massive, massive deal, as it should be, because he's the incomparable Terry McLaurin. But what Odell Beckham Jr. got is kind of comparable to what he get. I get it's his injuries. I wouldn't have paid him that, but it's not as outlandish as we think, I guess, is what I'm saying, based on the slotting of that. Is it enough, in your opinion, to entice Lamar Jackson to stay? And I'll go one step even further before you answer that. Do you think Lamar Jackson at any point has said to Odell Beckham Jr., hey, if the Ravens sign you, I'll stick around for one more year, and then the both of us will bounce together?
I mean, bouncing together is in the cards for sure. It's $32 million fully guaranteed. As of this moment right now, Lamar Jackson's not going to get that anywhere else. So he's young enough. He doesn't have representation. So his best option, to be honest with you, Gil, is to take that $32 million guaranteed, fully guaranteed, play 1 year with Odell Beckham Jr., get your numbers up, get your stats up, stay healthy, prove to the owners that you are a warrior, because I think that perception about Lamar Jackson is out there, that he's not a warrior at that position. And these owners and these GMs, they want warriors at quarterback position. Prove everybody wrong in that regard, and then go out there and test free agency again next year, or make Baltimore give you the money that you want. But Odell Beckham Jr. can help him do that. It's a one-year situation. He's a number one guy. He's got to stay healthy. As far as from a team standpoint, it doesn't move the needle for me and the Ravens. I think the Ravens are regressing a little bit, and that started last year, to be honest with you. Of Lamar Jackson, personally, I think it does give him some comfort out there, though.
Yeah, well, they've been such a criminally wide receiver deprived franchise, right? So
right.
Even Odell looks good, but yes, does it move the broader needle? Probably not.
If you can't draft a wide receiver, certainly buy one, right?
Certainly,
that's what the Ravens are doing.
That's what they're doing. Mike, the Freaknik documentary, which I spoke to you about, is not coming out till April of next year, so you have another year to rest easy. Mm-hmm. Let's just put it that way.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Just in case
I'll
you show up in it. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll disappear from the United States for a while once that thing gets dropped.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it as always.
Appreciate you guys. Have a good one.
Mike Pritchard, everybody. M.I. Pritchard. On the Twitter machine. I'm dying inside because Kelly is like the little kid without the armrest with his feet dangling.
And I got something to say about Pritch's draft here.
On the other side, it's the Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashing the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Kelly, you wanted to say something?
I'm reimagining the. I like the Mike Pritchard side of the him getting drafted story, but the. Let's all take a time machine to the 1991 Atlanta Falcons draft room, and it's like everybody splitting up where the coach is, who they're going to go visit ahead of time. Like, I'm loving the idea of June Jones being like, hey, guys, if nobody else will do it out there, I'll bite the bullet and go out to Vegas. Like, no problem. Yeah. I'll take the tough one. You go to Yulee, Florida, I'll go to Vegas and go see Pritchard.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Dave Dwyer. Is there a dress code that Will Hill follows? Short sleeve shirt with the blazer. Love it. How you know he's got a short sleeve shirt?
I think he had a polo shirt on today.
Oh, that's right. He had the old
but
golf
a
shirt on.
Short sleeve polo shirt, I guess.
Yeah, Will's got his own Stilo, is what he's got, Kelly. Stilo. Nevada Azer. Campbell just went from 90-1 to 50-1 at Caesars. LOL. Did I do that? Steven Vegas, if the St. Louis Maroons and the New York Gothams started the 1884 season 20-0 and 12-0 respectively, who the hell were they playing? Was there a team
That's
in
a great question.
It is a great question. Was there a team in Pittsburgh made up entirely of Wishnev ancestors that went 0-32?
That's a great That's
tweet.
Great.
Wishnev ancestors. He'll have you know he came from a long line of great athleticism. This is from Thirsty Bird. He said, found Campbell 150-1 on my offshore. Firing. And then Joe C714 was always wondering how the books got all the live feeds so quick. Is it simply a faster connection, or do they have some kind of backdoor stream? By the way, Crack and I talked about this about a month ago, and then like some people who do their own live betting thing who we weren't even talking about thought we were talking about them. They got all mad about it. But essentially, you used to, like a lot of us used to do this, right? You'd be at games, and you were actually ahead of where the books were. Lately, the books, I don't know like how quickly they're getting what they're getting, but like you can be at these games and they're almost quicker than you. So the opportunities are fewer even in that realm than they used to be. But again, I know of some groups that have taken good advantage of that through the years at different spots. Some clarifications or some follow-ups to things we were saying before. Earlier, when I mistakenly said Rory McIlroy's girlfriend when I met his wife, was up in Oak Hill. A little more Oak Hill intel for you from our buddy Michael Montesano up there, who won the Circa Booby Prize. He said they don't want scoring. This is for the PGA Championship next month for golf's second major of the year. They don't want scoring to be low. Likely -8 or 10, likely 8-under to 10-under wins. The rough will be up. The greens will be fast. Trees removed will allow errant tee shots a look to the greens, though, in many instances.
Yeah, of course. We did hit on this a bit yesterday in long shots. You should check that out. Wes had some opening thoughts on it. I think he did a great job pointing out Cameron Young, from the area a little bit. I ended up firing on Keegan Bradley already. I have a Keegan problem, as we all know. But Northeast, we're talking about a Northeastern major. He always plays better up in the Northeast. So I took 100-1 shot on him. Those numbers have been shrinking quickly. So if you are interested in him, I would grab it now. But we hit a little bit on the PGA yesterday in long shots. Check it out wherever a podcast can be downloaded.
All right, Kelly's going to give his thoughts on this week's RBC Heritage momentarily. The RBC Heritage, a tradition indistinguishable from others, I believe is their motto, their line.
Yeah, that's it.
Steve Fezzik texting in. Because we were talking about what is Tampa Bay's adjusted season win total. It's not up currently, but he was on with Patrick and Amal on Monday on Sharp Money, and he gave out Tampa Bay over 91.5 as one of his adjusted season win totals. So they were 91.5 on Monday. He also gave out Oakland under 58.5, and then Steve makes fun of himself by texting me, by the way, they're both 99% to win, same as Purdue versus Fairleigh Dickinson, which he bet at a very large price.
Rays are on track to be perfect, so they're not going to have a single loss. You know?
On pace to go the old 162-0. Maroons.
Can it be done?
They're coming for you, St. Louis Maroons. By the way, there was another team that year. It was the St. Louis Maroons. What was that other Sarah Lang's tweet? It was the St. Louis Maroons that were 20-0 back in 1884. But then then the New York Gothams, who was just referenced by Stephen New York. And then there was another team in 1876, the Hartfords of Brooklyn. You believe that? The Hartfords of Brooklyn. Not the Brooklyn Hartfords. The Hartfords of Brooklyn. Anyway, those three teams, in terms of run differential through the first 11 games of the season, the Maroons were plus 106. The Gothams were plus 73. This year's Rays, plus 63. And then the Hartfords of Brooklyn, plus 59. So this year's Rays, historically great in terms of run differential as well. And then your pro tip of the show. Hey, we have time for a pro tip, Kelly, before you do your golf? Your pro tip, this gets back to, we were talking about the play-in games. Nice job by Kelly here, despite his dangling legs and his non-arm rest to get this stat for us. Unders have hit in 11 of the last 13 play-in games. Keep that in mind for the games tonight. The defensive effort steps up big time in these games. Which brings us to the RBC Heritage again. The tournament after the Masters. What you got, Kelly?
Yeah, I mean, I think the weirdest part for a lot of people out there would be probably learning that the RBC Heritage is an elevated event, so you've got a lot of big names back right in the back playing golf again this week. Jon Rahm, Scottie Scheffler, both will be back in action this
week. Love it.
Week after the Masters. This is a tournament. This is one of the tournaments that benefited big time by the elevated status. They haven't had nearly this type of quality fields in the past. Rahm's played here once before. Scheffler, this is his first time ever being at this tournament. So it really makes this an interesting one to handicap. And a lot of this, especially from RBC Heritage, a lot of it you could base on tournament history here. It's the 17th most predictive course history here on tour. So you got to kind of throw a lot of that out the window with a different field in there. So I'll just kind of go over some of the bets here I made quickly. Outrights, I have much scaled down my outrights big time for this tournament. Didn't really look at much here. Just kind of played a few numbers that I thought were a little off. Yes, that includes Max Homa like it did last week. Yes, that includes Justin Thomas like it did last week at 33-1. Played those guys. Again, really more of a numbers play. Those guys just do not belong in the 30s. There are some rumors going around, I guess, about some possible JT injury stuff, but dealing with the PGA Tour, we don't get any official injury anything unless the guys actually say they're injured. So, played those guys small. Matt Kuchar. Now, this is a number. This is a bad number play because he would ideally be about 80-1 in a field like this. But Kuch has actually been playing good golf recently.
Kuch
didn't play at the Masters last week. Didn't make it into that field, but been playing really well.
Man, he used to be an ATM machine.
Oh, he was
top 10s. Yeah,
and Gil, he's top 20s. Man, he's been like that here recently. So that's where I went. I went big on a top 20 with him, but did play that outright number. And then Matt Wallace is another one. Small outright play, but I really like him this week. Matchups, top 20, top 40, I think he works well. Brutal start to the season, but finished 29th at the Honda, 7th at Valspar, won that secondary event at the Corrales Punta Cana in the Dominican Republic a few weeks ago. Finished 28th at the Valero, T18 at this event last year. I think he's got some value this week, so played a bomb price, 175-1 in the outrights, but like a top 20, like a top 40 on him. My only tournament matchup is him against K.H. Lee. Not a lot of matchups posted here, at least in Vegas yesterday, for this event. Really like him. My big bets where I really focus for this tournament, Gil, were these top 20 markets. I love Morikawa this week. I love Sung J.M. this week. I love Matt Kuchar this week. I have no confidence in any of those three guys winning this golf tournament, though. I think Patrick Cantlay is my highest-rated guy. Scheffler and Rahm are still right there. So I have big top 20 bets this week, way scaled down on these outright bets. But like all those top 20s and like that Matt Wallace in the tournament matchup.
I love that Homa bet. I'm trying not to be the guy who gets into one of those ruts where I bet the same dude every week and then I'm stuck betting him every week because I don't want to not bet him the week he does win.
So here's the thing.
That's my problem with Homa right now.
Matt Brown and I talked about this yesterday on Long Shots too, where Homa we've already hit on a couple times where I'm like, I'm going to keep playing numbers on him because at this point it's, I don't want to say it's house money, right? But like it's different trying to chase a guy for his first win instead of a guy you've banked on you've won a couple times on already, right?
True dat for sure. By the way, the college baseball bets, in case you missed them earlier, that we've made here again, Texas and Campbell. Texas got it 60-1, Campbell at 75-1, but as many people have tweeted in, and we mentioned this before, before even giving them out, you'll probably be able to get better numbers than I could on those, and I'll have two more teams come conference tournament time, but I'm waiting for those numbers to get a little better. Those will be shorter shots, by the way. We've done all we can do. The Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.